The very best ones we saw did three things really well. First, they could focus their organization. And as you know, there's so many things going on. Figuring out what really matters is very difficult. Then they could articulate it, the meetings, the communication, the town halls. Their message was very clear. And finally, they had a systematic way to measure it. I think you've talked to people about dashboards. They use these tools to kind of do a closed loop. And when they did all three of those, we thought those were the most effective.
So tell us a little bit about the research that you did. What was your hypothesis going into it, and what sort of interviews and data did you collect?
Sure. As Tom pointed out, over the course of 4 years, we interviewed 42 deputy secretaries and agency heads. We called them political executives to indicate their management and leadership responsibilities. And many of these we saw multiple times while they were managing. The hypothesis was that people, when they tell their stories after they leave government, tend to forget how hard it was to manage and what tools and techniques they used. So we wanted to see them doing it in real time and understand the challenges they were facing. So the feeling of being there and watching them and really probing, and, you know, 6 months ago you were told us you were doing this. How's that going? What challenges are you facing? What's working and what's not working? And that gave us real insights that previous works in this, you know, after the fact, tend to not really go into in detail.
Okay, we're going to ask you about some details from particular people that you can share with us from the book. But before that, I'm curious as to what kind of managerial experience these people had before they came into the administration. Were they business leaders? Were they neophytes? I mean, what do they bring with them?
So most had some private sector experience somewhere in their career, but generally speaking, it was a lot of college professors, some nonprofits. But what was key, and I think this is what you're getting at, Tom, is folks who had been in a previous administration, often the Clinton administration, really seemed to understand the nexus between not only their organization, but Congress, OMB, and the White House. If you hadn't been in a previous administration, that was one of the discoveries, that it wasn't just you leading your organization, that you actually had a much wider group of people you needed to engage. Folks who had been in a previous administration knew that and seemed to understand that it would, in fact, require much more managerial attention to do those things.
And Paul, you're an expert in management. I mean, you're a consultant at Ernst & Young. Tell me what you thought these people would say to you, and what your hypothesis was going into all of this research, and whether or not that actually turned out to be true.
One of the big things I had always wondered about in political executives was how much they really got to do. You know, gee, I always wanted to lead the Department of X, Y, and Z, and my vision was to do something. In fact, what was more clear to me was the kind of team structure they existed in, right? If you were an agency head in a department, you understood you were part of the broader mission of the department. You understood that you were part of the broader mission of the administration. So it was really sort of figuring out what's the team plan, and then what can I do within the team plan? I always thought they had much more discretion. That was the discovery that I made.
That's interesting, because you cite several people in the book, and some of them, I would say, are maybe technocratic and the mission doesn't have a high degree of political content, whereas others, it's highly political. I'm thinking of Seth Harris at the Labor Department, an effective executive, but clearly, you know, on one side strongly of the political spectrum, versus, say, somebody like Raphael Boris at Homeland Security, where what he did really was outside of the political realm. How does that make a difference?
Well, I think what you're getting at is the mission of the organization, right? And so you're talking about two deputy secretaries there with, you know, organizations that have somewhat different missions. And so as a result, I think you could be a little different person. But also, don't forget, what we talked about in our book for the deputy secretary was the key relationship between the deputy secretary and the secretary. If that relationship was articulated and defined, those two folks got along really well and you know, had good roles and divisions of labor, and that also makes them better.
We're speaking with Paul Lawrence. He is a principal in Ernst & Young's advisory services practice, and he's got a new book out, What Government Does, How Political Executives Manage. So you said that there were sort of three things that you could grade these executives on, so to speak. And one of them you said was evaluation and data. We have talked a lot about that on Federal News Radio. Give me an example of one of the people from your book that you think does that really well.
Well, so when David Kappas ran the Patent and Trademark Office, so you know, we know he's left, but one of the things he did was really focus on the backlog in the patent application process, you know, putting out a dashboard, talking about narrowing it down to 600,000, if I recall correctly, and even the times we came to see him having this posted in the lobby of PTO. He was really able to, you know, quickly articulate, define, and then get people to focus, quite frankly, and we talked to him three times over 2 years, and his message to us was very much the same. How are we doing on this big measure? You know, the organization is working towards it. The things we're doing to support it, technology, process, and the like. He was an example that comes to mind.
Did you ask him about transparency and the notion of open government? Just curious to know what somebody with that sort of approach had to say about those issues.
Well, they sort of saw the two connected, right? The measurement and the public presentation of the data, they saw as connected. It was not only transparency to the people who were, you know, filing applications, people who were worrying about the people filing applications, as well as letting people know. I think the people who measure and publicly measure connected the two, right? How am I doing? And does everybody know what we're doing?
And the big meshing of gears often happens when the political appointees encounter those who are career federal managers. And sometimes that goes great, and sometimes they don't mesh so well. What are some of the successes, best practices that politicals can bring in to get the confidence and cooperation of the standing workforce?
Yeah, well, one of the things we observed, almost all of them told us to a person how impressed they were with the career workforce. So it was not so much a surprise, just the mere fact of sort of engaging, sort of shoulder to shoulder. They all talked about how good they were. So that was the first data point, which maybe helps clarify. The other is we saw that the successful executives knew the right balance of sort of being in your office and being out and engaging the careerist. You could go to one extreme, never do it, and not be very successful, or the other, be out so often that your boss never finds you and you have problems there. But they had a good sense of working together, of delegating, and also, quite frankly, listening to what the careerist could advise them on and recognizing that they had a great deal of experiences which, you know, they would never have by virtue of their tenure.
And what about the reverse? How can the career people that might have been in an agency for an entire career make sure that they get the engagement and cooperation of the person they know is only going to be there for 18 months or 2 years?
Well, that was one of the things we hope our book clarifies, which is the political executives have a whole set of, you know, things going through as they try to manage and what they try to do and set their agenda. So we try to explain what the jobs are, not just by the titles, but by the categorization of the job responsibilities and the kind of things the political executives are going through. So, you know, they're trying to run the political executive playbook so careers can understand that and match in and mesh in with that.
I just want to pick a few names of these people that you interviewed. When you look at it, you have these people who I think we would all consider popular or well-liked, like John Barry at the Office of Personnel Management, and then others like John Morton at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, who was actually quite controversial, in part because of what the agency does. Did you find similarities between how they ran their offices?
So we try to group the people by the type of work they did. So when you talk about people like producers, you know, filing application, processing things, we saw similarities to how they approached the problems and how they thought about them. Perhaps the best examples I can give you in terms of people who thought about things like this were the folks who ran federal student aid. While we did the book, we talked to Bill Taggart and then James Runcie, who took over for him after Taggart went back to the private sector. These folks were people who had come from banks and understood how to process loans. So when you gave them financial applications, student aid applications, there was very similar to what they knew and understood. So they had experiences that translated really easily.
And there's a third category here, kind of a hybrid, those that might have been career executives but who get elevated to the political ranks, to the Schedule C ranks at some point late in their career for whatever reason, like John Barry. Karen Evans was one of those in the George W. Bush administration. And often my experience is that they are the most effective of all because there's no place to hide from someone who's been a career executive for 20, 30 years. What did you find with respect to those people versus the ones that come in purely out of patronage?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because where we saw this really play its way out, we organized a group of jobs we call scientists, folks in these very technical agencies, and Pat Gallagher, who ran NIST before he just left, really people talked about that, what you just described, Tom, in the scientist agencies, right? You've been one of us, you've done the science, you understand the value we place on integrity, now you're the leader of our organization. Not only do you understand what we can do, but you can articulate it to people who are not so much scientists. That's where we really saw it play out, and what you described, we really understood in that context.
And who do you think has the toughest job at all of all, considering all these groupings that you've just given us?
The toughest job, that's a hard one.
I know, that's why I asked.
Yeah, no. I do think that what we did, well, here's something we discovered. What becomes hard is when you set out to take a job and you suddenly wake up and realize, if you recall 2009, the stimulus money and president initiatives, you show up and not only do you have a job, but you have a president initiative going in your department, which you didn't understand when you took over. So, for example, at USDA, the deputy secretary showed up and thought, well, you know, I've been a policy person previously in USDA in the Clinton administration, and then the first lady announced, let's move, know your food, know your farmer, and suddenly you have a whole host of other things to do. Not impossible, but it's, I wouldn't quite characterize it, but you could say it's two jobs.
And before we let you go, we should mention Mark Abramson, your co-author in this enterprise, did a lot of the work too, and he's one, I think, well-known in these circles too, so we want to make a call out to Mark Abramson also.
Great. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. Thank you.